Good morning. It's 7:30 and this is K1 Tech Talk. Tech Talk, a place where we talk about the latest in technology, whether it's the computer and digital domain, or what people think of as the phone. That is something you carry around in your pocket or purse and use as radio frequency technology to place phone calls, download applications, or surf the web. Your hosts for K1 Tech Talk are Charles Miller from NBR Electronics and Charles Mull from IT Village in Dewey. If it's technology, we'll take your calls and answer your technology questions. Feel free to get in on the conversation. Just pick up the phone, whether it's a rotary dial, touch tone, or cellular, and get connected. Call 918-336-1400 or 1-800-749-5936 and get on the air. Whatever the topic, it's time now for K1 Tech Talk.
58 degrees, believe it or not, here at the Osage Casino Studios in downtown Bartlesville. Good morning to you. 7:31 on the Saturday morning means it's time for K1 Tech Talk. Evan Farbach with Charles Miller and Charles Mall, NBR Electronics and the IT Village. Good morning, guys. How's it going?
Good morning. Good
morning. Oh, well, it'd be help if I turned your mic on. How's
good
it going
morning.
Now?
We'll do it again.
Yeah, there you go.
Good morning.
How's your week been so far?
Well, mine was great, man. This was Denver Broncos, Kansas City game. Awesome game for me. I had a wonderful night, and I just feel great. It was a good week.
Good.
Yeah, that makes one of us.
Yeah. See, it's a busy week. You know, we were just talking just a minute ago about the fact that we had not talked to each other all week.
Not a single word. And we normally see each other at least a couple times a week, and it's just been busy for both of us.
Yeah,
I'm sure you've just been wound up.
It's nonstop. I mean, like, for example, I have all these little surprises that I run into. Like a church, all of a sudden their server goes down. So they come in the morning and they can't get up. Yeah, I mean, their systems are just down. So it's amazing what a showstopper that is when you have a bunch of people, you know, that all of a sudden can't work.
And what's bringing them down?
Well, like PSO cut the power off. What is it? I think it was day before yesterday.
Saturday. Yeah.
It was Thursday.
Thursday.
So basically they cut the power. They told people the power was going down. And so they basically shut their servers down. and then they boot them up. You know, the next morning, and one of the drives fails. Okay, and it's got RAID, it's got a failover drive, but the first drive in this particular server, if it didn't see it, it wasn't coming out. So basically, they tried every which way to get it going. So I get a call about two, three hours later, you know, when they've kind of exhausted all their options. And basically, it just requires a drive. So I basically build my get me a startup disk so I can go over there and look and see. Sure enough, the drive has failed. You know, it's got a big flashing red light on it. It wasn't going to come back up. And we just had to take some time and get a drive in there that would just rebuild. Because it rebuilt itself, but it took a while.
I don't think people realize, you know, the fact that, you know, we've discussed this before, but when you know, I mean, this was a warning, because they did come around to our business as well and said, you know, this whole power grid's going to go down. So I went around and, you know, the maintenance man from our building had told us what was happening. I went and unplugged everything that night when I left to make sure that when the power fell and it came back on, you know, those transformers, sometimes they send out a surge of voltage when they kick on, and it's not suppressed very well. And so a lot of times that's when you have lightning damage or whatever, you know, if a lightning cuts the power and it just kicks back on, you can lose some of your equipment. A lot of people have lost a lot of TVs recently over lightning storms. So it's always wise to kind of keep up with the weather, keep up with those kinds of things to make sure you go around and unplug your devices and turn them down. But it sounds like they did the right thing. It just
they did all the right
thing.
The
hard drive was way out.
Well, it had a big UPS on it. So, I mean, the thing would have stayed up power-wise for probably about 20 or 30 minutes without any, and which was actually enough, but you never know. You know,
sure.
So they were just being safe. But the fact that it didn't come up, I mean, usually you get some kind of an indication that a drive's going to fail, especially on a server. It basically says, you know, like you've seen on a PC, it'll say imminent failure.
Yes.
So, you know, they give you kind of a warning. And like these server drives, they call them a dual port because it's got dual electronics. So there's kind of a failover mechanism to help you give those warnings. So this is kind of odd that the power, you know, when it came back up, it just did not... It would just belly up. I mean, it was just dead.
Unfortunate.
Yeah, but those things happen, and that's why it's important not to think of just backups, but disaster recovery. because I mean, if your operation goes completely down, you have to have a disaster recovery plan, you know, and that's what I'm going to start focusing on more. It's that and the security. Those are the two things that are so critical, and they're not important until you're down. You know, you actually exactly. face these issues that cause you to be just totally out.
Talking technology this morning on K1 Tech Talk. If you have a question for the guys, give us a phone call. It's 918-336-1400, 918-336-1400. Talking technology this morning on K1. You mentioned they showed up in the morning and things weren't working correctly at the church, and that kind of causes people some issues. I know there's been just a couple, three times in the 14, 15 months I've worked here where maybe just the network's been fine, but maybe just the internet is down for whatever reason. And it's unbelievable how much you rely on something like that to do your day-to-day jobs. And then when it doesn't work, it's a major, major issue.
Yes, yeah. It is. Yes, it is. That's why, you know, I've got some customers, not very many, that actually have dual ISPs, you know, so they have two internet connections. So if one of them goes down, they've got the other to back them up, because, you know, not much chance of both of them being down at the same time.
I think we do have a phone call. Good morning. You're on K1 Tech Talk.
Yes, good morning. Charles and Charles. I want to commend you, rather, for having such a wonderful show last week. I found it so helpful. I am one of these people, I have to buy a new computer, and so I'm kind of starting out without knowing too much. So there are several questions that I have. I just want to say I would like to hear more of that kind of thing. What I was told was if I wanted to stream, I would need an i5 or above. And what do you say to that?
Could you repeat that? You said something about a drive.
If I wanted to stream of anything from the computer to, say, like a unit of music or, you know, of TV even, I guess, then I would need an i5 or above.
Trying to stream music from your phone?
Yeah.
Is that what you're
computer,
trying to do?
I think it's computer.
From the computer and trying to get it to somewhere else? You know,
for
music,
yeah.
Everybody's starting to use streaming now. You know, that's kind of a common thing. And like Pandora is probably one of the most popular.
Stream.
But you can stream it to your phone as well as to your TV or to your, you know, there's all kinds of ways to get that to your devices. But they're all little independent setups as to how they actually function. Is that kind of sort of what you're asking about?
Yeah, but I mean, you can get a router and you have to do the router thing and all of that, right?
The router basically lets you get your internet connection and feed it to multiple devices. So
right,
now you can hook up, like, for example,
about,
if you have a DVR, you know, it hooks up to your TV setup, you know, from cable or whoever. You got one that goes to your computer, and you've got wireless, you know, for your tablets or your phones.
I don't even have a phone or a tablet at this point. I need the computer first. But the question is, I was told i5 or above to get that going along pretty well if I go that route. What do you say to that?
Are you talking about a processor? The i5 processor on the... Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, right.
So it's your computer, basically.
Right.
So you're looking at a machine that's got at least an i5 processor.
My brother told me i3 will stream too. But he lives out of state, and so that's one of the questions I had. What would you recommend? Basically, i5 or
i3? Well, it's not just the processor, because you can get really good processors and really kind of poor quality machines. And very seldom do you see a poor processor in a really good machine. So what I tend to do is I steer people towards a little more commercial grade machines, primarily because the longevity. Like, for example, if you buy a low-end PC like you would buy at like a Walmart-type machine that's
really
cheap.
Right, it wouldn't go there, yeah.
They just don't last. So, and I've seen some, you know, they'll advertise some machine that's got like, you know, so much horsepower and, you know, really good processor and memory, but then the thing won't last 2 years because the chassis and the motherboard and the system itself just doesn't have the oomph to really take advantage of what the processor offers.
Uh-huh. Exactly. Uh-huh.
So that's why what I do, like for example, like the Lenovo and the HP and, you know, some of the common brand ones, they have low-end ones and they have high-end ones.
Yeah.
The low-end ones are typically like an AMD processor. And so when you get into the Intels, you know, it's a little bit better quality machine.
Yeah.
But that still doesn't guarantee that you have a commercial-grade machine. It could be, you know, something that's more elementary. So if you want something that's going to last a while, get something that's, you know, kind of at least, like an i3 or an i5.
Right.
That would be good. But then the models themselves, like for a Pavilion on the HP, those are home-type machines. And you get like an Elite, those are like commercial machines. So the models make a difference.
Did that answer your question, caller?
I guess, but I thought you said A3.
Yeah, you said S3, right?
I3.
Oh.
I3, I mean.
I3 and I5. Yeah, there's I3 processors that are plenty good because it's a fourth generation chip. It's pretty heavy duty. But i5 is a little better performance. i7 is probably the best.
Uh-huh. Yeah, last week you also spoke of the quad-core. And in perusing, you know, what's available in the papers, and I did speak with a person down at Staples, I was told that the AMD quad-core was mostly for games. Is that not correct?
It can be, but it doesn't have to be.
AMD's always been known to be a gaming-type machine. You know, it can be used for business, you know, as well, but the Intel processor seems to be more stable for, like, commercial use for business.
Right.
Well,
right.
You know, the way I look at it, like the, you know, the quad-core AMD, they do have some good machines, but they are cheaper processors than, like, the quad-core Intels. So you're just going for a little lower grade machine.
Okay, so you can just forget the AMD part and just go for an Intel quad core.
Yes and no. You know, I've actually seen some dual core i5s outperform some quad core processors from Intel just because of the generation. Because the i3, 5, and 7 are the current fourth generation chip.
Right. Okay.
You know, they have like this hyper threading, so they actually do more in the way of performance than just the cores.
Okay. Yeah. Because you did mention the quad core, so I will go with that because I want something that's going to last for a while. And just a couple more questions. You mentioned something about 316 RAM. I know the memory is really important, but I think that you said 316 RAM, and I wrote all this down. I was going as fast as I could, but
four gigabytes of RAM is kind of the basic, I would say now, because like if you run a Windows machine, 2 gigabytes is just for the operating system, so you need some operating memory, you know, for your program.
So you would say four and above.
Four and above.
Four and above.
Yeah. So if you have four and above, you're doing all right.
Okay. Okay. Windows, talking about that. Now, I have an XP, and without going into the details, my machine got sold without my authorization, but at any rate, I had an XP, and I read Kumundo in the paper, and I keep up with what, and she said, basically, like, what she's been saying about the Windows 10, you wouldn't rush out to get it. The Windows 8 and 8.1, I understand, always have problems. But in terms of coming from an XP place, she recommended that you might go with 7.
7 is definitely the mainstream right now. Windows 8 was kind of the new player, which wasn't very accepted because it changed their interface so much. So Windows 10 kind of brought back some of the Windows 7 features so that it's a little bit more natural to use for XP or Windows 7 users.
Okay. So
if you have a Windows 8 machine, I would probably upgrade to 10 because it's a natural fit. It should have been what Windows 8 was.
XP,
yeah, that was designed I think it came out in 2002. So that's a long time ago. And nothing's designed for that anymore. So everything has moved on.
Right, I know. That part of the problem why I found it so useful, what you were saying. But you said, Windows 7 might be for somebody coming from an XP experience base.
I don't think there's too much trouble with Windows 10 if you're coming from XP, because it has a lot of the Windows 7 features as far as the start button and navigating. So I wouldn't steer people away from Windows 10. I would make more the deciding factor if you have a new generation machine.
Right.
If you have a machine that was designed for XP, it's probably not going to run Windows 8 or Windows 10 very well.
Right.
But if you have a new machine, I would probably go with Windows 10.
Okay, Windows 10, gotcha. Another question that I had, you said for your phone or your computer or notepad, whatever you have, is to replace the hard drive every 3 to 4 years, I think it was.
I have a fairly new machine, but if it's over 5 years old, I would say I probably would just replace the machine.
Oh, yeah, no, I don't even have one, so... 2 to 3 years. So why would you do that necessarily? Is it just the hard drive wears out?
Well, it's a spinning device. There's a motor that drives that hard drive. It's a spinning disk.
Okay.
And they do go bad after a while. You can have them last 5 or 10 years, but, they just get to be more precarious as far as working.
Okay,
well, we appreciate the phone call. We are going to take a break. 58 degrees, 748. Still taking your phone calls at 1-918-316-1400. More K1 Tech Talk coming up.
Finding a new home is hard enough, so financing one should be easy. At American Heritage Bank, we believe buying a home should be a smooth, enjoyable experience. Whether you're thinking of buying your first home, looking to upgrade to the home of your dreams, or wanting to refinance your existing home, we have a solution that's right for you. Visit us online at ahb-ok.com today. American Heritage Bank, simply better lending. Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
58 degrees at 748 on K1. Tech Talk time here on AM 1400, FM 93.3. We do have another phone call. Good morning.
Good morning. Is that me?
You are on the air, sir.
I just had a question about the possibility of burn-in on a LCD TV. Some of the programs don't come in full picture in some of the movies, leaving a black, the blank space over on the side or at the top. Is there any reason that could cause a problem with a LCD TV?
Are you talking about burn-in when you just leave it on for periods of time? Is that what
exactly,
you're talking about?
Exactly,
Oh, okay, I'm sorry, I didn't hear you there. Yes, a lot of times LCDs usually didn't have that problem if you left them on for long periods of time. But what happens is if it's stuck on a picture and you don't have any kind of, most TVs are built in with a automatic, like a screen protector that'll pop up, whether it be the logo of the TV or whatever, that'll come up and down to protect the TV from getting burned in images. But if you're just leaving it on a set picture, a lot of times if it's for long, long periods of time, you can get a burn in.
Okay, even with an LCD TV. Original question, I guess, was if the picture doesn't fill the screen, either the sides are blank or the top cross or the bottom is blank or black. Is that a problem also?
That could be in your settings. Yeah. There's settings on your TVs where you can make it into landscape mode, or you can reduce the size of the picture, and that can be done in settings. You can open that picture up to full screen.
Okay, and I do know how to do that, but sometimes it's inconvenient, and it's easier just to leave it, and especially if it's a movie, and there's, you know, at the top there's a place, and if I fill up the screen, it it's not the same picture as otherwise. So there could be a problem if I don't fill up the screen in those cases. Is that what you're saying?
I wouldn't call it a problem. It's just the way that, like, for example, if you're playing a video on your computer, I assume that's what we're talking about.
Right.
The resolution or the size and the proportion that it displays, it has several factors that come into play. Like if you have like a wide screen, it may not, and it was actually in a 3x4 format, it actually shows black on both sides because it wasn't recorded that way.
Exactly, that's what I'm asking about.
So are you concerned about the black burning in?
You're concerned? No, it will not burn in. That's a dark color. It's not something that's like a bright lettering that would actually leave images in your screen. The black's not going to hurt anything at all.
So burn in's not a problem that way. Okay, well, I appreciate the information.
And your aspect ratio, by the way, anytime you have an aspect ratio where you've set it to a smaller format, like if, for instance, if you're watching a picture that was done in letterbox format, you know, most of your big movies are in that format. They're high definition, so they don't fill up all the screen. You don't ever have to worry about what's up there that's dark above or below or on the sides.
Okay.
That picture is designed, the LCD panel doesn't get any kind of a lighting substance behind it. So it's just going to have, the liquid crystal's not going to get hot in that area.
Right.
Where it's black, it's just going to stay cool. It's not going to get any warmth to it at all.
Okay, I understand, and I appreciate the information.
Sure.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
All right, still taking your phone calls. 1-918-336-1400, K1 Tech Talk this Saturday morning on K1. I think we have another caller. Good morning.
Good morning. I have a question, and this should be a pretty simple question. I was wanting to know if I got, I think it's like an HF something, anyway, a cord that has the USB on both ends, if I could plug it into the, like, the laptop and then plug it into, like, the monitor for, like, a TV or videos.
The USB is really made for devices that, you know, have a USB interface that you can send stuff to. A monitor is a little different. It has a signal that requires, you know, like the new ones are HDMI, but there's like VGA and there's digital, you know, DVI, and those are different plugs. And unless you have some kind of a way to drive it through a USB port, that's not a natural thing.
Yeah, it's not going to work just plugging your USB from your laptop into your computer. That's not going to bring out an image. 9 times out of 10, most of the TVs are built with what they call an RGB input on the back of the TV. Now you can take from your laptop the output of the display RGB and plug it into the TV, and that'll allow you to bring up whatever image you're wanting to produce from your laptop to your television screen.
Okay. So I just wondered what cord I needed to do that, because like on Sunday mornings a lot of times we watch Hometown Church down in Florida on the other screen is so much bigger. I was wondering if there was some way I could, you know, use a cord so that we could use that instead of
actually watch a lot of stuff on my big TV screen, because I've got like a 48-inch screen and I've got a computer next to it that's like a second, and I use it like a second monitor.
Sure.
And you can, in your computer, it just depends on what kind of an interface you have. And on the TV, what kind of interface you have, so you can match them up. Like VGA is the old style. That's an analog signal that's a 15-pin connector, hooks from your computer to your TV.
Now, some of the newer computers, depending on like if you have like a notebook type computer, I have one called a Nextbook, and it just has USB outputs and inputs, but it doesn't output to the television. All that has to be streamed from like a Roku box or from an Apple TV box or some kind of a box that will interface it. But Most of your older laptops, or not older, but even newer laptops that are a standard laptop, like a Toshiba or a Dell or whatever,
right,
they're going to have a RGB output. And that RGB just requires one cable, and it'll take it from your RGB into most of your televisions have the RGB input on the TV to be able to bring that picture up. And if you have any questions about that, I'm at NBR Electronics at 510 South Keeler. You can come in and I can show you how that works so you can see if your laptop is compatible.
Well, what mine is the one I want to use, is it's an X-Book.
It is a Nextbook, and it probably doesn't have a VGA output, right?
I don't know, because, I mean, it was my cousin's, and he died, and I ended up with it. So I don't know a whole lot about it.
Well, you might drop by sometime if you have that laptop with you to my shop and let me take a look at it, and I'll be able to tell you how you can interface that with your television.
Okay.
And I can show you on the back of a TV what you need to be looking for to see where to plug that in.
Okay, well, see, I know the back of this one has, you know, a place for like a USB, I mean, that kind of a plug. And so that's why I was wondering on that. So.
Well, most generally, if you have a television with a USB plug on it, that plug is not, it can be used for two purposes. Number one, if you have an SD card that has a, like a thumb drive that has a USB port, you can plug that in and look at your pictures and videos on your television. And then it's also a service port. So that's usually done by a service technician to fix the television software if it's a smart TV. So if you're having a USB, it will not take from your laptop a picture and send it over to the TV. They're not designed that way.
Okay, that's what I was wanting to know.
Okay, we appreciate the phone call. Thanks very much.
Okay, thank you.
Yes, ma'am. We're going to take a quick break, come back, and wrap things up as we're getting close to 8 o'clock. It's K1 Tech Talks on AM 1400, FM 93.3.
I'm visiting with Brandon Huff from Bartlesville Custom Cabinets. Brandon, tell me what Bartlesville Custom Cabinets is all about.
The bulk of our business is custom cabinets for whether it's new homes, remodels, do-it-yourselfers, anybody in the market for some sort of cabinet in their house, whether it's bathrooms, kitchens, entertainment centers, office cabinets, or the whole house. We do new home constructions, and that's our main line.
Bartlesville Custom Cabinets, providing all your cabinet needs. 398681 West 2400 Road. Call 918-440-5981 to get a free estimate on your new project.
New to Pawhuska is Premier Gun and Pawn. Not so new to Pawhuska are pawnbrokers and owners John and Debbie Long. They've opened their doors where you'll find almost anything, with new items arriving every week. Artwork, beautiful, hard-to-find antiques, Pendletons, broadcloth and beading supplies, small and large cedar chest, along with a cedar armoire. Hand-carved, life-size, and smaller wood art, and many unique items are in the mix, with guns, ammo, fishing, and hunting supplies. They carry high-end, handmade guns, collector guns, and then your very affordable guns. Many to choose from. You'll find tools, tackle, knives, gold and silver jewelry, gold and silver coins for the coin collector, and metal signs as you peruse the large open space of the newly opened Premier Gun and Pawn. And yes, they buy gold and silver, so stop by. Hours are Tuesday through Friday, 9 till 6, and Saturdays 9 till 2. Premier Gun and Pawn at 540 Kaihika in Pawhuska. Call 918-287-3456.
Trane Endurance engineers stop at nothing to push our products to the brink. They put our heating and cooling units up against everything, from flamethrowers,
safety control, better move that, tanker truck,
to ultra-high pressure fire hoses.
It's like 10 years of power washing all at once.
Point is, they've devised countless ways to push Trane systems to the limit, even catapults. Yes, catapults.
Call Ernest Heating and Air for seasonal promotions, rebate offers, and special financing terms. Phone 918-335-3051. That's Ernest Heating and Air in Bartlesville. Phone 918-335-3051.
58 degrees.
It's hard to stop a train. Really hard.
It's 7:59 on K1. Hope that your Saturday morning's going well so far. And guys, before we wrap this up, Charles Miller, Charles Mall, tell them what you do and all that good stuff.
I'm Charles Miller with NBR Electronics downtown Bartlesville in the professional building. If you have any electronic needs, or phone repairs, you just call me and we'll get you set up and get you taken care of.
Yep. I'm Charles Maul, and I'm with the IT Village, and basically it's an online presence for helping people with their computer stuff.
There you go. That's K1 Tech Talk every Saturday morning here on K1.
Not feeling well? Visit Bartlesville Urgent Care across from Washington Park Mall. This is KWON Bartlesville, K227 CQ Bartlesville.
Left Rome several hours ago. Pope Francis, destination Havana, Cuba. Correspondent Adriana Diaz is waiting there now.
He'll arrive to a welcome ceremony at the airport, and crowds are expected to flock the route that he'll take from the airport to the city to try to catch a glimpse.
And Francis's trip includes several days next week in the U.S., a stop at the White House, a speech to Congress, up to New York City, an address at the U.N., and the Popemobile ride through.